mean, could you? There are, I can't quite remember, there's some female comics and whatnot that you've tweeted something negative about, and then there's just been a massive pylon. So you're kind of doing to them what others have done to you in spades. And is there any way that anything can ever, you know, kind of call time on that and go, can we just all back off a bit? Not exactly go to your room and think about what you've said, but
no, I know
you know,
what you're saying,
just to go, look, at the moment what we're having is a rammy and it's not going to fix anything.
Yeah,
but and it's, you know, the way it is and the climate, it's terrifying to think about being the one, you know, to not back down but back off and go, look, let's just take a minute. Have you ever thought about doing that, even for the sake of your own sanity?
Well, I can kind of answer that question by telling, like, 5 years ago, just quite soon after I started into this, I signed a letter to Stonewall that was written by a guy called Johnny Best, who was the director of Queer Up North. And he was very disillusioned with how Stonewall were conducting themselves in this debate. Everyone was a bigot. You couldn't tell. It was the catchphrase was no debate, et cetera, et cetera. So he wrote
this. No debate about
this issue.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because that, otherwise you're saying that people don't exist. You're
they were saying you're debating our right to exist.
Okay, right.
So there were all these things that were preventing a proper adult discussion of this taking place. And I signed the letter, and so did James Dreyfus, who is the star of Gimme, Gimme, Gimme and The Thin Blue Line. The letter basically just said, we just want a respectful debate.
Yep.
Stonewall gave a reply within the day. They said no. They just said no. We're refusing this. You're debating all that stuff. You're debating the right to exist. James Dreyfus has barely worked since then. They destroyed his career because he signed a letter asking for a respectful debate.
A homosexual man.
A gay man. So my answer to other people stumble into things. They say, and you know, I try and use a bit of judgment to see what's what. But usually the people I amplify are doing things like sending abuse to Helen Stanland. Like someone will like Helen Stanland is the feminist who created the question, the Stanland question.
Which is,
if I can remember it properly, can you recount it better than me?
Does a teenage girl have the right to get undressed in a changing room without a person with a penis being in it?
Yes. So she answers that. She asks that question, which most rational and moral human beings will immediately answer with yes. She has the right, or is it no?
Careful now.
I can't remember how it's phrased, but basically the answer, it's a very simple yes or no question. Young women do not have to get changed with a male present, right?
Or with a person with a penis.
Yes, exactly. She gets the most appalling abuse all day long, often from people who block me so that I can't see what they're doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I catch someone who's doing it, I retweet them. And I say, look at this person, because that's what they do most of the time. They bully people in the dark, smaller accounts, people who aren't as sure of themselves, people who are just starting to get into this conversation and trying to find their way. They go for them. And my mission, not all of it, but a big part of it, is to shine a big spotlight on those people and say, look at this person. They're being abusive to a woman who's just standing up for her rights.
Mm-hmm. The issue you raise about debate is one of the things that's really caught my attention, because the place where debate should take place is Westminster. And none of the political parties will do that in any country in the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anywhere.
When have you seen the discussion?
The first debate that happened on gender and sex was in Westminster about 6 weeks ago, maybe.
Oh, I missed it.
No, you did see it, because it was the initial thing for that Sex Matters did.
Oh, okay.
So Sex Matters is a human rights organisation that is new, that was set up by Maya Forstater and Helen Joyce. Maya is a woman who lost her job. She was sacked for saying that Sex Matters, and she worked in a think tank that was to do with giving aid to countries.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that there was a sex-based issue with giving aid, because some women that are living in areas in developing countries, well, the women have got, women and children have got different needs when you're divvying up aid money than male people do. And for that, she lost her job. So she took them to court, to an industrial tribunal. She lost the first one. She won the second one. The finding of the first tribunal was that her belief in sex was not worthy of respect in a democratic society. The second tribunal said, of course it is. And about, well, I don't know, a month ago, she was given £100,000 in compensation.
Wow.
Now, their mission in Sex Matters is to clarify the difference between sex and gender mm-hmm. in legislation,
mm-hmm.
which was not something that any political party in the UK or globally are prepared to discuss. So they had a petition. And they got enough people to sign the petition to say this is something that we want our elected representatives to do. And they had, it wasn't a proper debate, it was that I don't really understand the political, you know, process. Sure. But the first event was basically laying out your stalls. So it was individuals speaking freely. It was live streamed because it's in Parliament. And some of what was said was frightening to me, because it showed me that the elected representatives do not understand the difference between sex and gender. And they're caught up in, well, we can't talk about this because otherwise some people might feel that we don't want them to live.
Yeah.
And they might do something terrible. And MSP Kirsty Blackman said that if she talks about this, some of her constituents might kill themselves. Now, can you think of any other situation that there's ever been in civilised society that our elected representatives can't talk about?
They're frightened to talk about.
Because if a person is so, you know, distressed that they have suicidal ideation, that is a medical emergency. Mm. That's a psychiatric issue. You must be able to talk about things that make people so distressed that they need emergency treatment. To just go, oh, no, no, that's a bit difficult, I'm not going to do that, means you're failing in your role as an MSP. And that person, Kirsty Blackman, would prefer it if people like me and Graham would just shut up and go away. And I think the consequences of that are doing harm to these very people that they're trying to defend.
That they're trying to protect.
Exactly. That's the big thing. I'll give you another example of how vulnerable these young women are who take testosterone and, you know, develop male features and grow hair on their faces and, you know, cut their breasts off. I'm sure you know of the gay dating app Grindr.
Yes.
Okay. Well, these young women are going on to Grindr and they are thinking that gay men will accept them. And they are going into gay clubs and, you know, different, I know it's blowing your mind. They're going into gay clubs and they're going into gay spaces, gay male spaces, and expecting to be accepted as gay men. And what has developed on Grindr is that straight men are now joining Grindr to predate on these young girls.
Mm.
You know, so they're now in this incredibly vulnerable state where they've been told a terrible lie that they're not really women, they're actually gay men, and they're being predated on by these men. And not only that, but the testosterone is severely limiting their lifespan. You know, it was you, Elaine, who blew my mind the first time you told me this. You told me that testosterone, if you take it when you're about 18 or whatever it is, testosterone will make women go into the menopause 30 years too early. Mm. 30 years. And perhaps you could talk a little bit about what the menopause means.
Well, that's the crux of it for me. That's why I am in trouble, because sex is immutable, can't be changed. 100% of all gender interventions have failed. 100% of them, because you cannot change sex. So when you say that they've been told a lie, I'm assuming that's what you mean. Mm. That there are people that I have met and worked with that actually believe that it is possible because they've been told that they can change sex, and it's not true. So because sex matters, in reality, female bodies need estrogen. Without it, makes you a bit forgetful, in my case, a bit moody, according to the people that I live with. So at menopause, then you are stopping spitting out eggs every month and babies thereafter. So you are now too old to be able to sustain a pregnancy that will be viable and have a happy outcome. And the reason that you ovulate is driven by your hormonal cycle, and estrogen is a big effort for that. Estrogen is key in that. So when you stop producing estrogen, it has a massive impact on women's health. Women have much less coronary heart disease until menopause. After menopause, we lose the protective effect of estrogen and we start having heart attacks, which manifest in a different way from the male heart attack, which is the Hollywood, you know, grabbing your chest, yada, yada, yada. And that's why women tend to die of coronary heart disease, because our symptoms are different. Medical misogyny is a thing that's well researched and accepted. You turn up at A&E, they don't think you're having a heart attack because you say you've had an ingestion for 3 days, and then the women die. This is not made up. It's true. It's well understood. We just don't bother doing anything about it because, well, these women are too old to be having babies, I assume. I don't know. Maybe it's just sexism. So if you go into menopause abnormally early, which in the literature is under the age of 45 years old, then you increase, because of loss of estrogen, your risk of coronary heart disease, dementia and osteoporosis. So you should be offered HRT, hormone replacement, to increase your estrogen to protect you against these things that will cause premature death. I asked at a conference to a gender clinician, what is the protective element of gender against this? Because I can't get my head around it. Because, you know, you go on testosterone is such a powerful hormone. Like, there's this sort of, you know, sexist narrative that women are just, you know, at the mercy of our hormones. Oh, we're so hormonal and so unpredictable. But testosterone is what causes male violence. Testosterone drives men to do inappropriate sexual behavior because they can't. It's such a powerful hormone that it knocks out estrogen. As soon as a female person takes to testosterone, she stops her ovaries from producing estrogen. Therefore, she's menopausal. Therefore, she starts aging as if she was 50.
I'm just putting this out there. But if a person who is biologically female feels so strongly that her gender, you know, identifies so strongly in terms of gender as a male, that they are prepared to go through that risk.
Yep.
There has to be some other way to help. I don't, you know, to allow their transition.
Yep.
But in the knowledge that this is increasing all these risks, and looking at ways to make that transition more safe.
But that's why it was always, up until a few years ago, a last-ditch solution. Yeah.
They would have done psychotherapy and lots of exploration, and there would have been differential diagnosis to make sure this person wasn't neurodiverse and feeling uncomfortable because of those things, which taking testosterone is not going to fix. You can't fix childhood trauma with a scalpel.
No, so this, I think.
I know what you're saying. Like, you know, I think this goes back to your earlier question about, you know, transsexual. If you're, if you feel that strongly about it and you take those incredibly irreversible decisions about your body, of course, you have to have sympathy for people who feel they have to go through this.
And it works for some people.
Yeah.
It is effective for some people.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
My concern is, how do you know that it's going to be effective for that person unless you do the groundwork first? And we're seeing this growing number now of people that are detransitioning. And those people are abandoned by the rainbow community because their very existence is denied by Stonewall.
Yeah.
It's denied by the NHS. They say that it's 1%, but the 1% is based on a flawed study that's been totally debunked by anybody with a scientific background, which is nobody at Stonewall, because they don't have a single medic, psychiatrist, child development expert, lawyer, philosopher, sociologist. They don't have anybody on their board. Their background isn't fundraising. That's what Stonewall is. They are exceptional at fundraising. They're amazing.
They're not good at making decisions about, people's health.
No.
You know, like if you look at photographs, you'll often see photographs. One of the things I get condemned for is sharing these photographs that are actually shared by the people themselves of very proud 16-year-old girls who have just had top surgery. You know,
you mean a double mistake to me.
Sorry, excuse me. Yes, top surgery is the cutesy word for a elective double mastectomy. And you see these parents and they're smiling and the child is smiling their head off. And every one of them breaks your heart because you know that this child just badgered their parents and said, I have to, because they've had it drilled into them by this ideology that this is the only solution to their problems, which range from things like autism, you know, internalized misogyny, you know, Ellen Page's book. The whole book is about her deep distress at being a lesbian. And then she has this operation. And I always think with Ellen Page, there's a thing of, you know, there's a joke about a guy who jumps off a building thinking he won't kill him. And at every floor he goes, so far, so good. You know, that's what all these people are going through. They are not looking to the future. I used to go to protests, and at every single protest where there's trans people, you will always see one or two young men with walkers or walking sticks. And it is because they have osteoporosis. You know, I mean, if you're a young man and you take a tumble, you just stand up and walk away. If you have osteoporosis, that's the end of a certain period of your life, a certain part of your life.
And what I know I've said this before, I think one of the biggest problems is that it has become so combative. That me, I'm a big fan of combat. You know, I can't believe I'm being so grown up here. But no, it's just turned into a rammy. And everybody hates everybody and nobody's right. And you cannot, there doesn't seem to be a space to go, hang on a second. What about, you know, in either direction?
Because that's what we did with the Stonewall letter. And it was just thrown back in our face. And we over the last 5 years, I've just been waiting for what we call adults in the room to step in. Like, you know, you would think, for instance, Keir Starmer might say, no, women's sex-based rights are important and rape crisis centres are important and it's important for women to have fair sports. But no.
That would be Keir Starmer, the leader of a party that one of their MPs described as being in an abusive relationship with, a coercive controlling relationship. Rosie Duffield, who's been horribly abused from within the party.
And
party leader
point,
has allowed it.
And on that
because
point,
she said sex matters.
Yeah. And on that point, again, as with J.K. Rowling, can you think of a nicer person than Rosie Duffield? I've met her several times.
Well, there's Cobb.
She would, as the phrase goes, she wouldn't say boo to a goose, you know. And she is being massacred online and treated with the most appalling, venomous hostility.
Within the corridors of Westminster as well.
Yeah, and it was the same with the SNP, you know, like as Joanna Cherry said recently, Nicola Sturgeon painted a target on her back by calling her a transphobe.
Which worked, because then she had to go to, she took people to court for death and rape threats. It was a literal target.
Yeah.
A literal target. Women. This woman, Joanna Cherry, had a show, or not a show, in conversation with at the Stand, which was cancelled before your gig was cancelled.
One of the things that irritated me, apart from the cancellation, was that it became Graham Linehan's gig.
I know.
You know, it was,
I felt terrible about that.
No, but it was a mixed bill, but they get to kind of pin you on there as, you know, the target.
Because although he's got, dismissing you slightly here, Emmys and BAFTAs and things, you're just an open spot when it comes to comedy.
Yeah.
So from a comedy point of view, it's an unusual thing to have. You have fame and fortune and talent, but the way that it's been flipped as, if you generated the whole thing. Mm. Comedy Unleashed is a very established brand. Mm. It's a really exciting club. And you ruined it, Graham.
Well, there's a funny thing that Seinfeld said. He said every comedian or every person who comes up on stage, if you're famous, you've got 10 minutes grace. Mm-hmm. And at the end of those 10 minutes, you have to start really landing the material.
Aye.
So I always do 10 minutes.
Cop out.
You know.
Sorry, back to what you were saying.
What was it? Yes. About it's Joanna getting cancelled.
Joanna Cherry. Yeah, Joanna Cherry.
So she is a woman who is at the top end of two male-dominated professions, law and politics. She's mm-hmm. a KC, she's an MP, and an experienced MP. She's been an MP for a long time. That's mm-hmm. not easy to pull off for anybody. She's also a gay woman. So to be able to get to the level that she's at and stay there, I think must make her exceptional. I'm interested in hearing what she's got to mm-hmm. say. That's interesting. The staff at the stand decided that what she said was beyond the pale because her position is, as a lesbian woman, she's not that interested in cock. Now, I am not quoting her there.
No, you're.
She wouldn't be so crass as to put it that way. But ultimately, lesbians don't do dick. Mm. So she should be able to say, I want to have female-only spaces in a social way. She had a constituent write to her, which was published in the Times, actually, to say, as a gay woman, her social life had evaporated. She's a woman that's about my age, and she used to be able to go to clubs and hang out with other lesbians who were all female, and that has gone. There is nowhere for her to socialise. Joanna Cherry took this on board, and she said that sex is important in all of the ways that Graham and I both agree on, and for that, her political party hung her out to dry. They removed positions of power and influence from her, and she refused to capitulate, because what happens if you do? The women who are very, very vulnerable land up not being able to say, I only want a female carer to wipe my bum.
Yes. Yes.
The women, there's a woman that, there's an organisation called Transgender Trend, which is focused on the education system. And they have a very detailed account from two parents of an adult woman who's a learning disability. And they wanted her to have female carers because it was important to them for her privacy and dignity. And that woman is HIV positive. And she has a learning disability. She's not. She's an adult woman. She does not have capacity as an adult woman. How did she get HIV? Women with learning disabilities are 10 times more likely to be raped than a woman like me. I do not accept that people with a gender difference are the most vulnerable in society, because the people that are protesting against me, the people that complained about me to my assorted professional bodies in order to take my career away from me, all have a tertiary education. All of them. If you have been to university, you're not that vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. It's.
I want to stand up for that woman, the woman who has literally no voice. It's not okay that the politicians ignore her and that the stand say that Joanna Cherry has no right to speak. Of course she has a right to speak.
I do. The fundamental. One of the reasons I was so keen to talk to you and have you on the podcast and whatnot is because I believe everybody, you know, our unwritten constitution says everybody has a right to speak. Now, if you don't want to hear what they're going to say, switch off, don't listen, walk away, whatever. I find it unbearable that there is this censorship.
You should be held to account. If you say something, you should be able to defend it.
Of course, but you should be allowed to say it in the first place.
Yes.
But I keep doing this. I keep saying, what do you disagree with? I did it on the ambush that I had on Talk TV the other day. They said, they said something about my beliefs. I said, what are my beliefs? You know, no one can name them. No one can say them out loud. Because again, if you say, well, I don't think women deserve fair sports, you automatically look like an idiot. You look like a bastard, you know? So they can't actually say it out loud. All they can say is that there's something vaguely wrong with my beliefs.
So, what are your beliefs?
Well, in what area?
I mean, in the area that's getting you into so much trouble.
I think single-sex spaces are crucial for women and girls. I think rape crisis centres need to be entirely single-sex. I think sports need to be fair for women, and males should not be in women's sports. I think that the language we use for women cannot be replaced with phrases like birthing person and cervix haver and what are the others that are bleeder, I heard, you know?
Like that was bonus hole.
Sorry, bonus hole. Bonus hole.
Bonus hole's the latest one.
Yeah, yeah.
For a vagina.
I saw one.
Because we have three, males have two, so I have a bonus one. Bullshit.
There's a famous photograph of a trans-identified woman who thinks she's a man now, and she's wearing a T-shirt that says three-holed faggot.
Crikey.
You know? So now the thing about this is some of, you know, there's a lot of things going on here, but one of the things that's involved in this, and we shouldn't really get too deep into it, but queer theory is an appalling field of study. It's all about
study.
It's all about transgression. It's all about reversing norms and all this sort of stuff. And on a surface level,
what is queer theory?
Queer theory is an academic, you couldn't call it a discipline, but it's an academic field. A lot of the time it replaced women's studies in universities.
Okay.
It became gender studies and queer theory. And it was kind of, there's people, you know, a lot of the people who surround queer theory are very, very dangerous. For instance, the man who came up with the concept of gender identity was a man named John Money. John Money was once left with two young boys who were twins, and his parents left these twins with John Money. He brought them into his office, and he was abusing them for years.
Because why were they brought there?
Because one of the children had I believe an intersex condition or a
no, he was circumcised and the circumcision went wrong.
That's it.
So he lost his penis because of that.
So John Money decided, well, let's just bring him up as a girl. So they gave him an operation, and in this office he would get the one brother to have sex with the other brother.
And that's
the man.
That's proven.
This is in the public domain, and it is the basis of the of queer theory, which is to flip norms in society. So you can flip what is sex, you can flip what you wear. Like, and that, because I grew up in the 80s, like, you were gender nonconforming.
Absolutely.
Gender bending was the on in vogue.
Completely.
The people that I had on my posters from Stone from Smash Hits were all men with makeup on. My father was deeply worried about it, but it was cool.
I thought it was so sexy.
It is sexy. It's a guy with style that's, you know, presenting himself in a way that makes him look amazing. We all were in love with these guys. So to have that background and be told, well, you're a hateful Karen bigot, you're just, you know, right-wing fascist, you don't know what you're talking about, and you need to broaden your horizons a bit. I'm like, are you real? When it's based on theoretical, the theory of gender theory is fair enough. Theories exist in everything. You should be able to debate and have decisions about anything. But gravity is a theory. Evolution is a theory. Some theories are, you know, real and measurable.
Robust. Excellent.
Other theories are, you know, designed to break down proper boundaries on which society must hang. You need to have safeguarding for children. If you tell children you can decide to be of the opposite sex, they will believe you, because you need to read some Piaget about child development. They will believe you as if it's fact. Whatever your primary two teacher tells you, you believe for the rest of your life. And what does it do to a kid?
Well, I mean, it's
these two John Money's patients, they believe this. They their parents told one of them he was a girl and all this sort of thing. And then as they when they reached adulthood, one killed himself and the other died of a drug overdose, you know?
Because it's not true.
It's so... What... Because we've now come to a point where J.K. Rowling, and who has mastered or mistressed, you know, the art of reasonable, you know, standing up for what she believes. She doesn't go over the top. She's very smart, and it doesn't seem to be doing her that much good. You, who's going banzai every other minute, and, you know, you can, to be fair, if you were coming to this absolutely out of the blue, you'd go, this guy's mental. And so that obviously doesn't, and it's probably hurting you more than it's hurting anybody else, but that aggressive male testosterone fueled approach, I think.
Well, can you give me an example?
Oh, well, just I had a fast hurtle through a bit of Twitter. And there's a lot of things that you're quoted as saying, which I'd kind of, I'm a great one for overstating the case in the interests of making a point, but that children on younger kids on puberty blockers and whatnot, they're like Nazi experiments or something.
Well, you know, basically, let me tell you just a short story about where that came from. Pink News is mm-hmm. a magazine that has famously published 42 attack pieces on J.K. Rowling in a single week. That's 7 a day.
Crikey.
For 7 days.
Okay.
Pink News have also written over 75 hit pieces on me.
Not that you counted.
Well, I gave up after 75. One of the hit pieces they wrote was, I was on a podcast and I was talking to a guy called Derek Jensen, who is very good on queer theory, by the way. He was talking about what, you know, the sacrifices I'd made and you know, what I was going to continue and all this. And I said that I now, you know, the way we all ask ourselves, what would we have done in the 30s in Germany? Would we have saluted mm-hmm. along with everyone else, or would we have stood up to them? And I said, I feel now that I can answer the question of would I go along or would I object to a great wrong? I feel I can answer that question with yes, I'm making a good show of myself. Pink News reported that as Graham Linehan calls trans rights activists Nazis. Okay? Mm-hmm. So then I was invited on Newsnight. And I was sitting there thinking, oh, thank God, I'm on Newsnight. Wait till I tell them. As soon as they hear about the gender clinics, you know, I was so stupid. And then as soon as I got into the studio, they said, well, I said, how long is the interview going to be? They said, 5 minutes. I said, what? So I sat down. It was immediately an attack. And I said, in fact, I got to stop asking the question I just asked you, Kate, which is, do you have an example? So I said, do you have an example? And she threw the Pink News headline at me. So rather than go, oh, well, I was talking to a podcaster, blah, 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 I've got 5 minutes. I thought, fuck this, I'm going to steer into it, you know. And I said, well, you know, the Nazis did experiments on children. They did experiments on autistic children, you know. And autistic children are one of the biggest victims of this movement. You know, there a lot of autistic children are, and autistic parents, the parents of autistic children are desperate for a solution. And they've been given this absurd one as a cure for something that will make their lives immeasurably worse. So I steered into it. I just thought, well, you know, there are parallels. There are parallels there. They experimented on children. We are experimenting on children. So that's the Nazi thing. And the Nazi thing is, again, that's like one of the first things on my Wikipedia, you know? Mm. So people read it and they don't get any of that context.
And yes. It's so what would your ideal, I'm not even talking about possible or much less probable, what would be your ideal way forward to help this horrific situation?
All we need is for people to start doing their jobs. You know, the biggest problem with what's going on is, as we said earlier, there are no adults in the room. Keir Starmer is not doing his job, you know.
To be fair, nor are any of the other political leaders.
Exactly. Sorry, excuse me. Although the Conservatives have been better, and someone like Kemi Badenoch has been brilliant on all this.
They have been better than the rest of them, which makes me, like, what's happened to me?
Yeah.
And in Scotland?
Yeah, in Nothing. Scotland,
Joanna and a few other.
Well, she's Westminster, isn't she?
Oh,
as far as Holyrood goes, there are pockets of brilliance, to be fair, in Holyrood. There are pockets of absolute, really talented people that are in the right place across all parties. But none of them have said sex is real. It took a bunch of citizens saying, we want you to discuss this.
Yeah.
They're not doing their job.
Yeah.
You're right.
And people, everyone who does speak out, everyone who does step forward, they have no backup. They're isolated, like I was. Mm. I went out and I genuinely expected people to be like, what? They're doing what to children?
Yeah, there's examples of that in every professional field.
Yes.
Without exception.
You come out and you think all your colleagues are going to back you up, and instead they not only ignore it, but they join in with it. It's the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen.
Because of the consequences, because you will lose your job, you will get thrown off your degree, you will get arrested, you will get punched in Aberdeen, and the police say that wasn't a crime.
And it's extraordinary. I bumped into Robin Ince on my way up South Clark Street.
That'll be the sceptic if it's not sceptical about this solitary issue.
Well, I'm a huge fan
of
Robin, and everybody has their...
But not this.
Oh, well, everyone has their opinion to what you would like to think. Obviously, he's a mine of information. And one... Yeah, feel free to tell me to go fuck myself or not. But one of the
well, we should have dinner afterwards.
Wow. Generally speaking, people just get out of bed and leave.
Hang on, do you need me too now, Kate?
Yes. Kate, of course.
Done that twice?
I know.
I think I know what's going on. Is this about Robin said tweeted the other day that I abuse cis women.